Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, and strength to my enemies.
Amen.
It is a pleasure and a privilege to be with you this morning, and I thank Father John Davis for the graciousness that he has extended to me to let me speak to you this morning. And a vocational meeting, and this is part of my ministry. When I read the gospel reading for this morning for the first time in preparing the sermon, I appreciated the wonderful example that Jesus gave of the vine and the branches to the fruit that is produced from them to describe relationships. The examples work, and made a lot of sense as I read along. And then I got to the line, whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. And the loveliness vanished. It is not unlike the passage earlier in John chapter 14, where he says that no one can come to the Father except through him. And these passages have been read specifically to enclose, to exclude, to verify, and to separate those in the group from those who the group does not want to be around and included. And that leaves me uncomfortable and unsure. Because I also read in John chapter 4 about Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. Wasn't he including Samaritans who were rejected by Israel as unbelievers? My short answer is that John's gospel is a difficult read in some places because he often left in metaphor rather than the explanatory witness by the account to the other three gospels. But there is more to this reading than just understanding the metaphor. In our gospel passage, the word abide appears 8 times. And reading it in the modern definition of accepting or tolerating doesn't make sense. Here, abide is used more like the doing abide from the movie The Big Lebowski, meaning to live or to dwell. So, the doing live. And Jesus is saying to us to live and dwell in him, as he lives in us, so that we build a mutual spiritual love together. And this metaphor extends the branches of the vine that we must live in the vine attached to us in order to bear fruit. And this makes sense. That the branch separated from the vine will wither and die, just as we wither and die, spiritually, when we are separated from Jesus. The separation is part of what we focus on during Lent. Separation being one way of understanding sin and resurrection, our resurrection. It is referring to God through Jesus, abiding in him again. So, discarding withered branches is not a rejection because of a loss of faith in Jesus, as it could be. But instead it describes removing what separates us from God. We are the branch, connected and living with the bond that is Jesus. But then Jesus goes on to say that God prunes the branches. And take a literal the sound. And it's not what we expected God to do. Now if we look at the quote of the word prune in the reading, it's translated from the Greek word kathaibo, which means a cut of wood. The kathaibo can also mean cleanse. And in fact, that word is used twice in the reading to mean both pruning and cleanse. So in the metaphor that Jesus is building, pruning a vine is cleansing, removing all the things that get in the way of producing fruit. Again, this is part of the Lenten experience. But it's also something that he's done all year long. Cleansing is painful, not in the sense of physical pain, but the emotional pain. Pain because we let go of the things that are familiar or convenient, or things that hurt us and the people around us. Bad habits, obsessions, addictions, self-centeredness. Those are all things that prevent us from experiencing God's unconditional love and loving ourselves in the same moment. Those are the things to be thrown away, not us as children of God. The fruit will be there when we are sent. You know, the big part of the body is sweeter, more nourishing, and more satisfying as food than the bitter fruit produced by his own brain. Jesus goes on to say that we will bear fruit, but without him we can do nothing. And that's often told again. That means to say that we are completely dependent on Jesus for bearing fruit. So we are not able to produce fruit on our own. Now, part of our spiritual awareness is knowledge of our gifts, the things that we do in Jesus' name to continue his ministry here on earth, the things that we do to continue to build the kingdom of God here and now. These gifts are the fruit that we grow, and we give that fruit to others, whether or not we're aware that we produce it. Getting those gifts comes from the Holy Spirit moving in us to be the eyes of Jesus and to respond with his heart, his hand, and his feet. We can bear the fruit on our own, but as the branch of the vine we are fed and nourished by Jesus, and it is through that nourishment that we bear God's fruit for the world. In that sense, we cannot bear God's fruit without Jesus, because it is distinct from all other fruit that we could bear. And it is God's fruit of love, of justice, of dignity, and respect. Everything that is in our baptismal vow is rooted in the world. The reason why I'm here this morning is because my family and I visited the city in October of last year, and I came to the service this year. We stayed at a hotel on the edge of Soho in Quebec, and we would walk to the Canal Street subway stop to take trains around Manhattan to see the sun. On one of those stages of our stay, my wife and I noticed a tornado bomb growing against the fence that enclosed the construction site. There were a couple of small tomatoes on the vine, and it looked delicious. Now, we grow potato vines at home in a raised bed full of dirt. The thing is bomb was striking because there was nothing but concrete around. Yet it had found enough dirt somewhere to grow. We both agreed that it had grown from the seed left behind with someone ate a tomato and was also one. On that farm. Seed fell, some others, while others grew. As I read this morning's gospel, I was reminded of that one and how it fits into Jesus' words about the vine and the vine that branches, being ready to bear fruit. From God the vine dresser to Jesus the vine who loves the branches, our fruit grows from an unbroken line. Nourishes those who are in you. When you have left this sanctuary this morning, think about where God has planted you, where the vine you grow from is located. If a tomato vine can grow and produce fruit on a sidewalk in the city, think of all the unexpected places where you could produce fruit. Think about who would be nourished by them. Think about where the seed comes from your fruit, not them. And who would discover that new vine? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.